Well, before we get into the message today, we've got some young men going to Peru. And if I have them come forward, please. I want to pray for you. Guys, turn and face the congregation. Why don't you do that? And real quick, why don't you say your name?
I'm Matt Judd. No, I'm sorry. I'm Grayson Judd.
I'm Harry Judd.
Parker Allen.
Wesley Kennedy.
That was good. I'm pretty impressed. Harry, why don't you share a little bit about what you're going to be doing in Peru?
We are working with a family down there. They pastor a church called Mas Vida, which means more life. And but we will be working with a lot of young people. They have a group of about 50 new believers down there that they've been training and been working with. And so that's the primary focus for us. And on these trips, we always like to tell people these big numbers, like, you know, we're talking to this many people in this place. But honestly, all the places I've ever been, the biggest impact that you have is with the people that you spend all the time with. And so it's going to be with that family. That's really, that's where our main impact is. And the cool thing is they really have in their hearts to go out and reach people like we do here at Good News Church. They just don't know how necessarily. And so that's what we know how to do. And so when we step in, it's not like we're trying to convince them or anything that this is the way or convince them that this is the right thing to be doing, which I have been places and done that, and that's never fun. But these people are already convinced of that. They just need some help. And so that's what we're doing. We're just helping them out. So me and Parker, we leave tomorrow. These other two, because of school, hold you back. No, I'm just kidding. They'll be – sorry. I should not give my own personal opinions from the microphone. They'll be leaving next Monday. So –
Susie, why don't you come? Nate, why don't you come? And just want you guys, yeah, you can turn and face me if you want. You guys are not just representing the Judds, the Allens, and the Kennedys, and not just representing Good News Church. You are ambassadors for Christ, and you go with the message. And so we're excited for you guys, and we know there's going to be impact. And I believe that this trip is going to open up doors for others, not only to go to Peru, but to other nations. So excited for you. So let's pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this team of men here, men of God. We just thank you, Lord, that they have wisdom, they have boldness, they have utterance. They know exactly what to do in every situation, and they have favor, Lord. Open, and we just declare open doors of ministry, open doors for the gospel, for the I Give Life message. And thank you for those divine appointments, those divine connections. And the people that when they leave, there will be an impact there. People that are changed that will in turn take what they've learned and influence others. So we just thank you that go forth blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Protection, wisdom, and utterance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We'll go get them, guys. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 1. You know, anytime you go to another nation like that and had the privilege to do that, you come back changed. And so excited for them is all that's going to happen. Some new experiences, and I know they'll be challenged, but it'll be awesome for them and for the body of Christ. Romans 1, verse 16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Everybody say gospel of Christ. "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And it's very clear here, the gospel, which is good news, is the power of God unto salvation. It's where the power is. When it's preached, when it's believed, when it's embraced, it brings transformation. It brings change, eternal change. It brings God's very power. I mean, think about that same power that created this world and this universe. It's that same power that comes on the scene when the gospel is preached and believed. And so a good question is, what is the gospel? And Paul answers that question in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I mean, it's important. So if we're going to preach the gospel, we need to know what it is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 says this, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." And here it is now. "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. The whole thing about Jesus being crucified, Him being buried, raised on the third day. He paid the penalty for our sins, the sin that Adam committed in the garden. And everyone after Adam was born into sin, born with a sin nature, Jesus paid the price to break down that barrier, that wall, that veil between man and God. He's the mediator, the go-between. He says in John 14, "For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me," except through Jesus. And so how do we enter into this family? How do we enter into God's family? How do we enter into salvation? Are we assured that heaven is our home? Well, Paul, this is all Paul's writings here. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says this over in Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 9. And so this is what, and so we believe the gospel here, right? Believe that what Jesus did, we believe that. And this is what Paul says we need to do to enter into God's family. Romans 10, verse 9. "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Not maybe. Not if God's having a good day. Not if you're acting right. Not if you're going to church enough. No. If you do this, you will be saved. And I have good news for you. It's not a fragile salvation. It's not coming and going based on feelings. It's not coming and going based on performance. If we can't earn it, why do we think that our performance will cause us to lose it? It's by faith. And these other scriptures talk about it. I'll read it later. But it's a gift from God. It's not based on performance. It's by grace through faith. It's out of God's goodness. It's out of God's mercy. Now then, why isn't everybody saved? Because God desires everybody to be saved. Because He has given us a free will. We have a free will. You hopefully you chose to come to church today. You chose to give in the offering. You chose to lift your hands to worship. Hopefully nobody was forcing you, had a gun to your head and forced you to do it. You did it as an act of your will. And that's the way God is. He's not going to force. Now the enemy is different. He wants to force you to do things. He wants to put you in slavery, put you in bondage. But God's not that way. He's a gracious, loving, kind, heavenly Father. And wants everybody that wants to be a part of His family to be willing. And this is how, so to enter into God's family, it's very simple. To believe the gospel, which I read to you. To believe it in your heart and then to confess it with your mouth. To say, "Jesus is my Lord." And it's really simple. It goes on in Romans 10. It says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's pretty good. So today, if you're wondering about your eternity, if you are wondering where you are with God, if you are wondering whether you're in God's family, well, I just encourage you today, call on the name of the Lord. Call on Jesus today. Today's your day. Call on Him. And all that He is and all His goodness will come flooding into your life. And not only that, but He created you to do something awesome. He created you as a world changer. He created you to make a difference in your world. And you'll enter into that plan. And good news, when you die, you go to heaven. Now that could be a whole sermon on heaven. What's heaven like? No sickness, no pain, no tears, no lack. Other folks loved ones that believe in Jesus, they're there. Angels are there. God is there. Jesus is there. The devil is not there. Can you imagine a world without the devil? Without stealing, killing, and destroying? You'd be flying around heaven. They talk about when one person comes to repentance, all of heaven has a party. I mean, they're just having parties all the time. You think you know how to party? I mean, they don't need drugs and alcohol. I mean, they are just in party mode all the time. It's going to be fun. Now, most churches will talk about Jesus, and they'll talk about the fact that he died, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead, that he's seated and has all power in heaven and earth, and he's in this victorious place. But they make it seem like he is way up there and we're way down here. I remember the church that I grew up in, they had two different levels. They had the conservative service upstairs, which is in the big auditorium, and then down below was the contemporary in the basement of the church. But in this upper room, upper auditorium, it was amazing. It must have been, to me, it was like, I always say like 300 feet, but it was probably about a 50-foot Jesus painted up on the ceiling. I mean, and he had his, the halo around him, and he's seated, and I mean, he's just dressed in this royal robe, and I remember, I mean, those eyes were just staring at me. If I was doing bad, they were mean eyes, but if I was doing good, they were loving, good job, Matt, eyes. But that's even in the way we had the church. It was, he is up there, and I am down here. You feel so small, so insignificant, and God seems so far away. You know what I'm talking about? And that's the way it is in most churches. And so when we're down here, we're weak, we're powerless, we're helpless. But see, this is not the revelation that Paul brought to the church. Paul's the one that says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. He's the one that said, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. He always gives us the victory in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woo! That doesn't sound like weakness to me. Doesn't sound like we're helpless or powerless. And we need to get Paul's revelation. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he had revelation that no other man besides Jesus had. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And you read in his epistles and his writings, and you need to spend some time there and get his revelation. Not just know about it, but get it in you. What is revelation? Revelation is being able to see. It's like the curtain is opened and you can see clearly. And God wants you to see some things. He wants you to know the mysteries. He doesn't want you to be in the dark. He wants you to have understanding. And he is not withholding anything from his church. And he wants you to know. And so Paul had this revelation, and the Spirit of God revealed it to him, and he wrote it down for us. Let's look at Galatians 2. part of this revelation. Galatians 2, verse 20. In the Message translation. We read from different translations. I normally read from the New King James Version. I just could never get into the King James. If you're on the King James person, God bless you. But I couldn't get through all the vows and these and halves and all the other things in there. And so I read the New King James. So that's my main. But we read other translations. The Message translation. The Amplified. The New Living. The NIV. So you hear us have these different versions. That, you know, that there's different versions out there. So we use different ones. Galatians 2, verse 20 in the Message says this. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified. Everybody say identified. I identified myself completely with him. He's about to show you something here. So pay attention. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In this translation, it uses the word identify, identification, identified. And this means that this indicates who you are or what something is. Or it can mean a close association with someone or something. But it also means equality. You've heard the word identical. Identical, so they're equal. And so Paul was able to identify with Jesus up until that point like no other person in history. Again, it was by revelation from the Holy Spirit. He was able to identify with Jesus. And what he was able to do is to put himself in the gospel. See, you've got to take the gospel from out there and get it in here, but also to put yourself into the gospel. And that's what Paul was able to do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is there anybody in Christ today? If you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, receive Christ, I mean, whatever the various phrases, you know you're going to heaven, you know you have this salvation, you know you're in God's family. Paul says that you are now in Christ. You stepped into a new position, and it's called in Christ. And that is where you are, and that is who you are. And we need to identify with that and need to be able to see that. And really, until you see it, you're really not going to make much of a difference in this world until you see that you are in Christ. And then start reading Paul's writings over 125 times. He'll tell you what you are, what you have, and what you can do because now you are in Christ. And we need to know, this church, and as believers, we need to know this and understand this. That scripture I read, you know, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in my own strength. I can do all things through Christ. In Christ. Through Christ who strengthens me. Again, Paul had a revelation that he was in Jesus. And that's why he says, I was crucified with Christ. Were you there? Paul was not there. But he was there by revelation. He was there by understanding from the Holy Spirit. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Woo! Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your past, your mistakes, who you were, your very nature. I don't have time to go into it, but you were, because of what Adam, the sin he committed, you were given a sin nature. So your tendency, the real you, had a sin nature. But Jesus, because of what he did, because of his blood, he changed that. And now you've been given a new nature. You've been given the very nature of God. God just breathed himself in you, and God came to live inside of you and changed your nature. You are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All those mistakes and stupid things you did, they are forgiven. They're forgotten. And that's not who you are. You are now in Christ. Lord, help them. Help them. Help them to see it. Paul saw himself in Christ. And then the union that they had, and being one with God, and having the revelation that this big 60-foot Jesus, or however big he is now living in me, and I am in him. To get a revelation of that, to begin to see it. And so, you know, and so Paul, he begins to have this revelation. I was crucified with Christ. Meaning I was there when Jesus was crucified. And then so when he bore my sin, and see, he bore my sins. He bore Matt Judd's sins on the cross. He bore, I mean, I could tell you what they were. Some of them. There were so many, I really have forgotten all of them. But he bore my sins. He bore my sickness. He bore my poverty. He bore my lack. And it was all of that junk, which other words I could use, all of this junk was laid upon Jesus. And Jesus bore it for me. And so Paul was there, and he saw that, and he realizes now that old man that made all those mistakes, that's not who I am anymore, because Jesus bore it for me. So when we see that cross and we see Jesus on the cross, we ought to be shouting. We ought to be, I mean, and I know it was pain. Those were real nails. That was a real spear. Those were real thorns. I mean, but then not only that, but spiritually what happened, what was laid upon Jesus. But that cross is a cross of victory. That cross is it represents the old man. The old man passed away. But then it says we were buried with Christ. Buried with him. Now what does that mean? Well, Jesus, you remember, he was gone for 3 days. Where did he go? Jesus descended into hell with all the sin, sickness, poverty, all that junk. Again, I could use other words. All that junk that was upon him. He was carrying the load. He took it back down into hell. And sometime during that 3 days, the resurrection power, and it came because of Jesus' faith. Because he trusted his Father. Man, he's out there, and God, you better come through this time. But I mean, he's in a mess. He's in a pickle. But thank God, because of his faith, and then the one who promised is faithful, the power of God came down into hell. Woo! And resurrected him and took all that junk off of him. And then Jesus defeated the devil and stripped him of all his authority. The Bible says made a show of him openly. One translation says paraded him, I mean, through the universe, naked. That puny little whatever, naked. Boy, it's not a pretty sight. And so what did he do? He took the authority that Adam gave to Satan. Jesus won it back for us. But
Well, let's not stop there, okay? That's good. That's good. But we're going to just go all the way in this? All right, let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. What we need to do is, when you begin to see what Christ has done for us, and when you begin to identify with Him, it swallows up. Yes. As you grow in that identity, it swallows up your past. Yes. It swallows up that weakness, yeah, that inferiority, helplessness, powerlessness, swallows that up. And God, and I love this, God will make us into something new when there's no reason and there's no physical evidence for Him to do it. Make us into something new. And every day we should wake up, and because the enemy is going to try to pull you down, and we live in a natural realm and we do natural things, but as we do it, we have to go through it in Christ. We have to go through it in a new creation, because the enemy is going to try to pull you down and say, no, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You don't deserve it. That's for so-and-so. They're such a good person. Being saved by faith, but now this walking this thing out, it's by works. No, it's not. It's all by grace through faith. Everything is that way. And so He's got this huge inheritance for us. But if you don't see yourself as a new creation, as you don't see yourself as in Christ, and if you don't see yourself in your new position, you're not going to be able to walk in all that He has for you every day. He's made you an overcomer. That is who you are. And I know, maybe today you don't feel like it. Maybe today you don't feel like victorious. Why? Because the circumstances speak louder than your identity. And we've got to have the identity, this identity of who we are in Christ, and because, especially in the world we're living in, because we identify with so many different things. All right, when I just say some words, Republican, Democrat, Independent, or how about this, Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, go Bulldogs. You love the Bulldogs so much you're wearing Bulldog underwear today. And I don't want to see it. Tony. I know it. Another day. Our jobs. This nation. I'm an American. And all these things are good. But see, if your identity is in that, it's a weak foundation. Because any of those things can be taken away from you. Any of those things. And those things are fickle. Let's talk about the Gamecocks. Gamecocks were 11-2 last year, ranked fourth in the nation. This year, they're 4-5. Now, my identity, and I'm not wearing Gamecock underwear, by the way, but if I'm a Gamecock fan and my identity is in that, that means I'm not doing well. And you see how, if you identify with these things, it's up and down. You need, and you can do all those other things, but base your identity, make it founded on the rock, founded on Jesus, founded on what the Word says, founded on what Paul says about who you are in Christ, because that's your identity. And nobody, not the devil, not your boss, not the government, not the Antichrist, can ever take it away from you. It's yours. Woo! I'm preaching now. Help me, somebody. Nobody can take it away. He's mine. I'm His. I'm in Him. I can't get any closer than that. Me being in Him and Him in me. You are not alone. And He says that He will never, ever, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. Even if you mess up big time. And I know some of you did this week. But even then, He will not leave you nor forsake you. And it's His goodness that leads you to repentance. And so, you know what? When sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So that means when you mess up, a whole bunch of love is going to come your way. A whole bunch of mercy. A whole bunch of forgiveness. Now, I'm not recommending you do that. But I know you, every once in a while, you make a mistake. Okay, so we don't stop at His crucifixion or His burial. Let's go over to Ephesians 2. Are we there already? Ephesians 2, verse 4, amplified. Love these first two words. But God. Oh, that's the whole message right there. But God. So rich is He in His mercy. Because of, in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself. That the same new life which He quickened Him, you know, when He raised Him. For it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you're saved, delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up. Look at where we are, where Paul's taking us now. The cross, into hell, and now He's raising us up. Raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together. Giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come to the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, and His kindness and goodness of His heart towards us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you're saved. Delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone could possibly do, so no one can pride himself or take glory in to himself. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. This is who you are. You need to know this. And you need to know this on your down days. You need to know this on the days you're feeling weak. You need to know this when the enemy is doing what he's trying to do to steal, kill, and destroy. You need to know. You need to have this word hidden in your heart. Put it on your heart. Speak it with your mouth. When Jesus was dealing with the devil in Matthew 4, He said to him three times, "It is written." Jesus Himself, the Son of God, used the Word of God against the enemy. He said, "It is written." God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life. Are you living the good life? You know that whole thing, life is good. Are you living the good life? The good life is found in Christ. The good life is identifying with Him. Seeing the position. You know, and here's a good revelation. These guys are going to Peru. In order to get into Peru, they're going to have their passports. It's going to what's on their passport, their identity. And the Peruvian government's got to verify that, what it says on there, with the person to prove that this is the person. Well, I've got good news for you. When they open up your spiritual passport, your picture is not in there. Your picture is the picture of Jesus. And so all the rights and privileges that Jesus has, you have. Because you're in Him. We've been identifying with the wrong things. Need to identify with Him. So when we were raised, with Christ, we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Seated with Him. That's a position of authority. And then in Matthew 28, He said, go. And He gave the church. See, it makes sense to me. I mean, would the body be someplace different than the head? I mean, just looking at that, it makes sense that we're seated with Him. Wherever the head is, that's where the body... You're not going to have the head over here in the... I mean... That's like a horror movie. No, the head is attached to the body. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. I mean, and do you think Jesus has authority? You think Jesus, when He says something, that He wonders if it's going to come to pass? You think Jesus feels weak sitting next to the Heavenly Father? The Bible says we can go boldly to the throne. I mean, just turning your head. That's what boldly to the throne means, turning your head and looking towards the Father. Because you're seated there already.
Yeah, that's good.
But we feel like we got to crawl our way into the throne room, and we're bowed down, and we're just crawling and just grab God's foot and then just beg Him for whatever it is we need. And that's many in the church. And many won't even do that. They're just afraid to even go anywhere near God. But then if we do happen to step in there and have enough boldness to step in there, but then we're beggars, begging God to do something for us. He says go boldly to the throne. You belong there because you're a child of God. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took your unrighteousness and gave you His righteousness. You have right standing with the Father. You're a son and daughter. You've got an inheritance. Is anybody getting anything today? So when the devil comes to your house and tries to steal, kill, and to destroy, what do? Just kind of hope for a miracle? Kind of, wait around, hope God shows up. How's God feeling today? No, what you do when the devil shows up, and how do you know when he shows up? He wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants to take all the joy, all the life, anything good out of your life. That's what he wants to steal it from you. He don't like you smiling. He don't like you happy. But here's what you do because of who you are and where you're sitting. And it's not based on your performance, but you use His name. And when you use His name, it's like Jesus Himself is saying it. And do you think the devil listens to Jesus? Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. So what you say to him, based on where your position, you say in the name of Jesus, get! Get! Get some water, I can say it louder. Get! in the name of Jesus. So today we're having baptism. Baptism is all about the gospel. Baptism is all about identity. Listen to the words that we'll say when we baptize people today. We'll say, in obedience to the Great Commission. That's what I live for, the Great Commission. Getting people saved, raising up disciples. And he said in Matthew 28, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm obedient. I said, in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then I'll say, I baptize you into his death and burial. You get that now? Does it make a little more sense now? I baptize you. And that represents the death and burial. And then we pull him out of the water and you're raised in his resurrection. You see all the symbolism? So when we say we're going public at baptism, we're just saying this is who I am. It's no longer Matt Judd. It's no longer, you know, all my past. It's Christ who lives in me. This is who I am. This is my identity. Do you remember in Acts where it talks about the seven sons of Sceva? Remember that story? They were the seven sons of Sceva. How'd you like to be known as the seven sons of Sceva? Anyway, there was Mo and Zoe and Joe and Bo. Were four of the sons. But there were seven of them. Joe Sceva. I got to wrap it up. All right. So there's the seven sons of Sceva. And they're copying the apostles and casting out devils. And so they know all the right things to say. And so, you know, they say in the name of Jesus that Paul uses. And this is what the devil says to them. Jesus I know. I know him. Paul I know. Because Paul knows who he is. He knows who he is in Christ. But you, who are you? And this goes and just beats them up. Tears their clothes off. And the seven sons are run naked through the streets now. So if the devil's going to come to your house, is he going to say, I know you? Or I know who you are? Or I don't know who you are? See, your identity and how strong you are in identity gives you authority and influence in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, I got to go. I got to leave. Okay. But the spirit realm is a higher realm than this natural realm. And because of your identity, you have the right, the authority to use the name and walk in that inheritance because you are a son and daughter of God. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Susie, take it away.
Praise God. At this time, if you are getting baptized or you're helping your little one get ready to get baptized, why don't you just stand? No, just the people that are getting baptized. Are y'all going? All right, go. You can go. If you're getting baptized or your little one is, you head out. We'll just take a moment and let you go. It's going to be a lot of people moving because we got 22 people getting baptized. So maybe you're inspired to get baptized because you just heard that. You can go on back too. Message like that makes you want to get baptized again. Just give them a moment here. Narciso, come up. I don't know if I can say his whole name. I'm just going to call him Narciso. I can spell it. How about that? Mora Castillo, is that how you say it? Yeah. He's going to get baptized, but we're going to just take a minute here with him. You look good today. Yeah, every day. You got it. I asked him to stay behind for a minute just to share a little bit about why he's getting baptized. And So we'll just let him. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Here, why don't you just share a little?
Well, it's just that when I first started coming to this church, I was very skeptical about God in general. And a good friend of mine invited me one, twice. The third time, I didn't like what Pastor Susie had stated one night. And I was like, that is not right. I'm going back to just home, you know, no church at all. I left when Kristen was 7 months pregnant with Adelie. And when I came back, there was no Adelie. It was just, she was 6 months old, I think. And, you know, Pastor Susie, Nate, Kristen, and Pastor Matt had taught me who he really is. He's awesome. He always takes care of me. Anything that I need or I need in my life or whatever, he always provides. And I didn't believe when they were saying, you just have to ask, you just have to pray. And I was just like, praying, you know, praying is like, back then I used to say it's nothing, you know, prayer with words. He's not here. He's not going to show up and be like, hey, I'm going to take care of you. And one day he kind of did, you know. So he responded and he helped me 100%. I was going through a very difficult time. And that's when I knew that he existed, you know, that he is here with us.
Yes.
Anywhere, and that's all. Now I believe in him. No?
Thank you. Rest. Praise God. You know, it's really important on a day like this that we realize that every person that's going to come through here and go public with their faith and baptism, that every one of them have a story. And Narciso just shared a little piece of an amazing story of transformation of what Jesus has done in his life, of him coming to the realization that God is real and that Jesus does love him and that he will help him. And no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation is, no matter what he's done, that there is grace and mercy and great love and forgiveness and help and comfort and strength. All of that is available to every one of us. And these people that are about to be baptized, I wish we had, you know, all day long so every person could share what Jesus means to them and what he's done. But, you know, this is a special time and a special moment because when people go public with their faith, it doesn't mean they're any more saved than they were before, but it means they're stepping into an embrace of God's, you know, the community of believers. But it also means that they're stepping out. And they're saying something by what they're doing. They're outwardly showing what Jesus has done for them. And that's what we're about to witness. And I know several of you are here because your loved ones, you don't normally attend here, and your loved ones are going to be baptized. But I want you to know we're all rejoicing with them today. We're rejoicing with the newness of life that Christ has given them, that he's given us all new life. Today's a celebration of the newness of life that we all have in Christ. And there'll be some, I don't know exactly the age of the youngest one, but is it Havani? He may be, how old is Havani? Is he seven? So Havani's seven. He might be the youngest. I don't know if anyone is you six. So we have a six-year-old. I've got a six-year-old. Do we have any younger going? Okay. Anybody who's six? You got a six-year-old? Yes, that's right. Isabella's six. So, okay, so we have a couple six-year-olds and seven-year-olds. And if you're wondering, is that too young to be baptized? I'm going to tell you, I was baptized in water when I was 5 years old. And I got baptized not because anybody tried to get me to be. God dealt with me when I was five that I need to get baptized. It's a really special moment in my life because I don't remember when I got saved, but I remember when I got baptized. So I know that, and especially these kids, they're pretty smart. So they know what's going on. And all the way up to, I'm not going to say the oldest, but it could be Paul Sear. don't tell him I said that. Okay. but it doesn't matter where you are in your walk. I know Paul's been saved and walking with the Lord for many years, but today he's doing this. And some of y'all are out there and you've never been baptized in water, even though you've been walking with the Lord for many years. You should just go ahead and do this in obedience to what Jesus said, because he said we should do this. Amen. You guys, are y'all ready up there yet? No, I hear voices. Might take them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's move this podium out of the way. A couple guys here could get this so we can see better. We are taking photos. Thus, Wesley is up there. He's going to be taking photos, and we'll be posting those on Facebook. Yeah. But if you want to get a photo of your kid, you or your loved one, you can come up and sit here. Are y'all doing the camera too? Will it be up on the screen? We don't know. I don't know from them. All right. Y'all about ready? Here we go.
I am Jacob, and I am going public.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with him in his death, raised to life in his resurrection. Hallelujah.
Joshua, I'm going public.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with him in his death, raised to life through his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Michaela, I'm going public.
Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and wait a second. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with them in his death, raised to life through his resurrection.
Can we see him? You're going to say your name. And
my name is Giovanni, and I'm going public.
All right.
Ready for this? In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into his death and burial. And you're raised in his resurrection. Woo! These guys are nervous here. Who's next? Traffic jam.
I'm Cody and I'm going public. All right, brother.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into his death and burial.
And raised in his resurrection. Yeah. Woo!
My name's Tamika, and I'm going public.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with him in his death, raised to life through his resurrection. All right. Woo! You're going to say your name.
They're eager group here.
Kyle.
And I'm going public.
And I'll go with public.
Oh, yeah.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptized into his death and burial. Raised to life through his resurrection.
My name is Joseph, and I'm going public.
I'm really proud of this guy and what's been happening in his life. When he first came to the church, a little bit skeptical, but he stayed with us and opened himself to the Word, and so I'm excited what Joe has for what God has for Joe in his future, and exciting things, new things for you. Amen?
Amen.
So in obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into his death and burial. Raised in his resurrection. Woo!
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in his death. Raised to life through his resurrection.
Woohoo! Amen. Awesome. You said it was freezing. It's like 90 degrees in here.
I saw that.
My name's Paul, and I'm going public.
All right, Paul, why now? Why now? Why this day?
Just, I don't know. My heart, and this church is just long overdue.
Yeah, I'm speechless. Well, I'm excited for you and your family and what God has for you. It's a new day. Amen?
Amen.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into his death and burial. Raised in his resurrection.
Woo-hoo!
name is Ayana. I'm going public.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to life through his resurrection. Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to life through his resurrection. To life through his resurrection.
In his resurrection.
My name is Chris Aaron, and I'm going public.
Now, Pierce, you identify more with Jesus than you do football. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into his death and burial. You're raised in his resurrection.
My name is Kathy, and I'm gladly going public.
I've been knowing Kathy a long time, and she is an amazing lady. And for her to be at this church and to go for God like she is, it's just an honor and a privilege. And God's got amazing things for Kathy.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into his death and burial. You're raised in his resurrection. Congratulations, Kathy. It's a new day. I love you.
I'm Narciso, and I'm going public!
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're buried with him in his death.
Raised to life, his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Gloria a Dios. Everybody together. Gloria a Dios.
I'm Victoria, and I'm going public!
In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death,
raised to life in his resurrection.
Hallelujah! Hey.
I'm Corey, I'm going public.
To the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into his death and burial. Raised in his resurrection. Woo! Stand up in the top one. There you go. Good job. Now, Nate's got
stand.
You.
Stand up. Stand. You gotta stand up.
That's okay. I'm here. Okay. Two-man team here.
All right. In obedience to the Great Commission, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, raised to life in his resurrection.
Praise God. That concludes our baptism. Let's go ahead and pray for everybody before we close this part. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for all these precious saints. We thank you, Lord, that they walk in their new identity and who they are in Christ. Lord, they fulfill the plan that you have given them. They live long, satisfied lives, and they will influence their world for Jesus Christ. We thank you for them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Why don't we all stand? Wasn't that fun? Praise the Lord. Before we go today, a couple of reminders. First of all, well, this isn't so much a reminder, but there were people here today. Maybe you heard the gospel for the first time. Maybe this is the first time that you understood why Jesus died and why he was buried and why he was raised. It was all about us. And if you're here today and that's your first time understanding that and you want to confess Jesus as your Lord, I just want to lead all of us in a confession of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if you've done this before and you've already received him, that's fine. You need to know how to do this with somebody else because there's plenty of people in your life that need to hear the gospel. So if you're comfortable, just say this after me. God in heaven, I know I've been a sinner, but Jesus came to save me. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried. And I believe you raised him from the dead. I confess Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, I accept you, and you accept me. Amen. It's that simple. It's just believing that and receiving it. That's a way you receive a free gift. If you said that for the first time today, or you know that God's calling you forward in his relationship with you, they're going to be prayer partners right up here in just a moment. They're here to pray with you. If you have a need in your life, something going on in your family, a need in your body, if you're sick, whatever it might be, the prayer partners are here for you. So they'll be right up here just as soon as we close service. I want to remind all of you that we have refreshments in the atrium. You're all invited back for that. Just as soon as service is over. Also, next Sunday, we're celebrating our 19th anniversary. We're going to have a really special service we've been planning for you. And then we're all going to stay. You're all invited to come and stay after service. We're going to eat here together. So all of you are invited. And so that's next Sunday. Praise God. Well, let me pray for you and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for what's transpired here today. All the people who've gone public with their faith. I thank you so much for new creations in Christ. And Father, as we leave here, we know we're going into a world that not everyone knows you. And I pray, Father, that you would embolden us and you would strengthen us, give us words to speak life to people this week in Jesus' name. And I thank you that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Amen.